Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
We all know that money, to a believer, represents the most evil, corrupt, and sinful elements of the world. Yet God's people have to deal with money and financial matters continually. Therefore, the rare opportunity that 2 Corinthians 8 gives us should indeed attract our full attention. For here we see the Apostle Paul himself, not teaching us, but as our living pattern on the proper way to handle money and the proper attitude that we all should have towards it. Bob Danker has joined us for this fellowship today. Good to have you back, Brother Bob.
It's good to be back, Chris. This is a wonderful portion of what we could call Paul's autobiography, the epistle, the second epistle to the Corinthians. And here we see many things concerning what Paul was in his person as a minister of Christ, and not only that, but how he behaved himself in that ministry, which is just as important as what Paul was.
Yeah, this really is, we've seen again and again in this book, this is not the apostle writing instructions or giving us his teaching concerning how a Christian should properly handle money, but I like the word you used, is the way he behaved in this matter. And of course, the backdrop in 1 Corinthians, it was revealed that even the Corinthian believers had had some accusations against him in the area of money, so he was particularly careful, wasn't he?
He was, and rightly so. He wanted to avoid any complications and any blame on the part of the Corinthians against him and his ministry. So he was very wise and very careful.
Well, the chapter also has as a component the matter of giving. We're really not going to focus on that today. We'll save that for tomorrow's program and the day following. We're going to look at chapters 8 and 9 in that light, what they really demonstrate to us about giving and the principle of giving in the Christian life. But specifically today, we want to be enlightened in this matter of the handling of money in such a way as to not bring any kind of blame upon ourselves or upon the ministry. Really, there's a very significant enlightenment, I think, in the program today. And Bob, let's, as we look at these verses in the middle of chapter 8, beginning at 16, tell us quickly what the context is. It's going to talk about Titus coming with some other brothers, and fill in the details here a little bit so the listeners understand what's happening here.
Well, Chris, through the apostles' ministry, the saints and the churches in the Gentile world were brought into a fellowship of contributing material wealth to meet the need of the needy saints in the Jewish churches in Judea. This was a beautiful thing, a marvelous fellowship in the body of Christ, Gentile churches caring for the churches in the Jewish world because they had a financial need. And so the whole context of this portion of the word is the way Paul handled the money, or this matter of money, because he was going to take from the Corinthians a contribution, let's say, of money.
Right.
That was going to be then delivered to Judea to meet the need of the saints there. So here in this portion, we can see the way Paul conducted himself. He behaved himself in handling money. This is not a small thing, as we well know. The way we handle money has a great effect on our usefulness to the Lord.
So there obviously had been a rather broad collection taken up among the churches here in Asia Minor, which was really the economic center of the civilized world at that time, and in the saints in Judea, a much poorer place. And so this need was made known by Paul to the churches, and they responded bountifully. And this now is all in that context of how this gift is being transported and handled in a proper way. Okay, of course, we know Titus is Paul's co-worker here. And in verse 16, he begins, "But thanks be to God who puts the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. And we sent together with him the brother whose praise in the gospel is throughout all the churches. And not only this, but who also has been selected by the churches as our fellow traveler in this grace, which is being ministered by us to the glory of the Lord himself and to demonstrate our eagerness, avoiding this, that anyone should find fault with us in this abundance, which is being ministered by us. So here is the key. Paul is handling everything in such a way so that no one would find fault. Okay, let's join Witness Lee.
In the first half of this chapter, the apostle fellowship concerning the ministry to needy saints in Judea. Here we are with a chapter that could help us very much concerning the matter of money. We all know this matter of money is a big, big problem. Always the handling money is a temptation. Don't think that you are so spiritual, you are so okay, there'll be no problem with you. Well, I don't think none of us could be more faithful, more spiritual, more okay than the Apostle Paul. Even with him, listen, he was very, very cautious and careful concerning this matter of money. We could see a few crucial things here. Number one, he recommended a few brothers to the Corinthian believers concerning the ministry to the needy saints. Firstly, he recommended Titus, then one brother and another brother. Now, a section like this in the Word, no doctrine, no theology, no gift, no power. What can we say here? This book is on Paul's life. He gives us a very clear picture to let us know how he behaved himself in carrying out his ministry. So he had so much money given from the saints for the needy saints in Judea. He realized, this much money would create a problem. First of all, he selected Titus. Titus was a reputable brother among all the churches. But listen, Paul tells us purposely that he also sent another one, another brother, with Titus. Now, you must see what Paul says here. We sent together with him the brother whose priest in the gospel is throughout all the churches, and not only this, but who has also been appointed by the churches as a fellow traveler in this grace. And this indicates that surely Paul asked the churches to select such a one. Paul did this purposely. For what purpose? To avoid. Avoid what? That anyone should blame us in this abundance which is being ministered by us. This is his carefulness. This is the way he behaved himself.
Bob, maybe it would be helpful if you just kind of reviewed from what we just heard in the context here in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, the extent, the lengths to which Paul went to make sure that this whole act of carrying this large gift was going to be something that would never be the source of blame being brought to him or the ministry.
Well, Paul was sending Titus. He wanted to send Titus to Corinth to make sure the Corinthians were prepared with the gift that they had indicated that they would give. And in order to avoid being blamed, Paul considered very carefully how he should handle the money that the Corinthians were giving. And so instead of sending only one person, that is Titus, actually Paul sent three brothers, Titus plus two others. And one of those three brothers was not selected by Paul, but was selected by the churches. So Paul went to some lengths to make sure that he would act in an honorable way so that this ministry that he was carrying out for the needy saints in Judea would not be blamed. First of all, if you send only one brother, that brother might be tempted by the money.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, if Paul sent only one brother, the Corinthians themselves might have been suspicious of Paul's intention. So Paul realized this, that there were pitfalls, that there were possible openings for Satan to come in to cause some damage through money,
mm-hmm.
which he often does. And so Paul was very careful in not sending only one to handle this gift, but sending three brothers so that the Corinthians would feel so comfortable in the way that Paul carried this out.
Yeah, the whole realm of money can be a stumbling. Of course, it can be a stumbling to us individually because of the temptation that is often provided by money or opportunities, et cetera, et cetera. But then even not in the way it's earned or in any sort of improper behavior, but just in the handling of it. Here, the conveyance of this gift from one group of churches to another required that Paul go to these great lengths to stay so much in the light and so much above any kind of suspicion. This is a principle, isn't it, Bob? I think we'll see the program today really highlights these principles, again, not through Paul's teaching, but by his example.
It really is, Chris, and this is why it is included in the New Testament, to give us a principle by example so that we can know that in handling money, we need to take some real consideration and be very, very careful that we don't leave the door open for God's enemy Satan to come in to use money to damage any of the brothers and sisters,
right,
or to damage the churches or to damage the Lord's work among the churches.
You mentioned consideration. Actually, in the next verse, there's a word that Scripture uses. Some translations use forethought. The Recovery Version, which I'm going to read, says foresight. I think we'll hear Witness Lee refer to it as forethought. The meaning is roughly equivalent here. Verses 21 and 22, for we exercise foresight for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we sent with them our brother, whom we have proved to be diligent in many things many times, yet now much more diligent because of the great confidence he has toward you. So exercising foresight or forethought, both in the eyes of God and in the eyes of men. A second principle that should always govern our handling of money. Here's Witness Lee once more.
21. We take foresight for what is honorable, and not only before the Lord, but also before man. To handle this much money is not an easy thing. So Paul took foresight. He was trying the best to avoid this kind of bullying. So here is a principle. Whatever you do, however you behave, you must take some foresight. How people would think about you. How the devil would think about you. He's a devil. He's crouching, waiting for a chance just to destroy you. So you have to be careful. You have to take foresight. You need some witnesses. Don't do things in such a way that leaves some openings for the enemy to come in. I like to point out two things to you. Two things. Money and sex. Whenever you touch money, you must take foresight. Don't touch it carelessly. Otherwise, you will always have trouble. You know, the Bible says money is the matter of unrighteousness. Money is dirty. It's unrighteousness. It's used by Satan. So you must learn to avoid the blame. This is one thing. And the other thing is the male and the female, the matter of sex. You know, the Lord Jesus, he had a talk very late in the night, right, with Nicodemus, an old man. But in the next chapter, a Samaritan woman came to see him, and he had a time with her. Where? Not under a roof, but under the sunshine, in the open air. Not in the night, but at the noontime. Why the Lord Jesus did this? The Lord Jesus, by that time, was a little over 30 years of age, still quite young. Suppose the Samaritan woman had a talk with the Lord Jesus in the midnight, in a private room. The disciples went to buy the food for quite a long time. Then they came back and they knocked the door. Oh, the Lord Jesus was there talking with a woman. Don't you believe that at least some among the disciples would think about, what is this? You see, the Lord Jesus took foresight. He took foresight in the Lord's work. Two things are very tempting, money and sex. Always do something to safeguard the situation. Always do something to make the thing so honorable. Take foresight for what is honorable, not only before the Lord, but also before man. Then you will be preserved, you will be rescued from any kinds of troubles.
Exercise forethought or foresight for what is honorable, both in the sight of the Lord and in the sight of men. You know, Bob, a lot of times we may excuse a certain behavior because we would say, well, the Lord knows. Surely the Lord knows I'm above reproach here. But Paul, in this matter of money, and the Lord Jesus, in his matter of dealing with the Samaritan woman, both give us the example that their consideration extends to how man would view the situation as well, don't they?
Well, as you said, Chris, it seems that we should consider how men will think even more than we consider how God will think. But of course, God knows everything.
Right.
He knows our heart. He knows whether we're pure in our motive and so forth. But men do not know, and men are subject to the activity of the evil one, Satan. And Paul realized this, that the thoughts of the Corinthian believers might be stirred up by the evil one to be suspicious of the apostle and to blame the apostle in this matter of handling their gift for the needy saints. So Paul was wise, and he was careful, and he took forethought, and he exercised foresight to close the door to God's enemy, Satan, so that Satan would have no ground to plant, so to speak, these thoughts in the minds of the Corinthians. And I feel that these two matters, money and our contact with those of the opposite sex, are so crucial because we all know that the enemy has used these two things to create a lot of trouble among the believers and even among the servants of the Lord. Many have been damaged, stumbled, and even rendered useless because of the way they handled money and the way they handled their contact with those of the opposite sex. So I appreciate very much these two marvelous patterns. The Apostle Paul, in the way he handled finances, not sending one brother, but sending three brothers,
right,
for a witness and a testimony that everything is handled in an honorable way. And how the Lord Jesus talked to this Samaritan woman, not at night in a closed room, but under the open heavens in the daytime, so that the disciples would not have a suspicious thought about what he was doing there. All the ground was removed for Satan to come in to put these kind of thoughts in their mind. So this kind of forethought is extremely important in handling these two matters, money and the contact with the opposite sex.
It makes you very aware of the times when we have not exercised such forethought and they come flashing back. Now you realize, oh, how could I have been so dull, so dense here? But this kind of example really needs to get stitched into our being, doesn't it? So
exactly.
In both of these arenas and maybe some others, but particularly, as you said, these are the two it seems that the enemy is most able to use, the suspicious thoughts and darts and arrows that get injected into all men's kind of thinking to damage and put question marks on the Lord's work. And that's really what Paul was preserving more than his own good name. I think his interest was in preserving God's interests on the earth.
That's right, Chris.
Well, Bob, let's go back to Witness Lee. This last section, he somewhat just sort of ties together some of these attributes and virtues and principles we've been seeing in these recent messages.
You could pick up a lot of virtues from these chapters. You could see the work of reconciliation, to bring people fully back into God. Then what else? The adequate life, the all-fitting life. That is to enlarge yourself. To have yourself enlarged. Then what? To have an intimate, tender concern for others. Now to take salt beforehand for honorable things. They're saying, put this thing together. No need to say in the church life, even your family life, even your marriage life, even in any kind of life, school life, office life, whatsoever, in any kind of life, all these principles are needed. You put all these things together, you will be used by the Lord. You will have usefulness.
Bob, in chapter 5, we saw the ministry of reconciliation. In chapter 6, Paul demonstrates really the all-fitting life of Christ that he was living out day by day. Now we have this matter of the honorable consideration of forethought. The virtues here of Christ are really replete, aren't they?
They really are, and these virtues were in Paul, and they were manifested not in Paul's technique for carrying out his work, but in the way that he was, in the way he behaved himself, and so forth. This shows the real characteristic and virtues that are needed for a person to be useful to the Lord in his work. If we subtract any of these things, then we find that our usefulness is compromised. And I feel that the things that we have dealt with in this broadcast are very critical. If we want to be useful to the Lord, we have to take forethought for things that are honorable in the sight of God and men. If we do things in a dishonorable way, even if our motive is pure, then we bring suspicion and criticism and blame to ourselves and to the Lord's work, then our usefulness is restricted greatly. So Paul, as you said earlier, wanted the work of the Lord to be flourishing, prosperous among all the churches, among all the saints, for the building up of the body of Christ to fulfill God's eternal purpose.
Thank you, Bob. I enjoyed our time together very much today. Well, our time is up. For Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wild. Thanks so much for listening today.